From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. The Gina 6 case has hit Capitol Hill. The House Judiciary Committee held hearings yesterday about events in a small Louisiana town that sparked a national debate over race and justice. White students accused of hanging nooses on the high school campus were suspended from school, but not formally prosecuted. 6 black teens accused of subsequently beating a white classmate faced charges as high as attempted murder. Democratic legislators said the federal officials should have intervened in what they saw as a race-based prosecution. Here's Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee addressing U.S. Attorney Donald Washington.
Why didn't you intervene? This broken lives could have been prevented if you had taken the symbolic responsibility that you have being the first African-American appointed to the Western District. I don't know what else to say. I am outraged, and that's why my voice is going up like this. Literally outraged.
Washington fought back.
And I was very offended by what I heard. I took steps to see what we could do within the ambit of the kind of powers and responsibilities that I have. All we could do, if the facts were there, was to bring a juvenile delinquency proceeding, which we elected not to do.
For more, we've got Ron Christie, vice president of the lobbying firm DC Navigators. He's also a former special assistant to President George W. Bush. And with us, Donna Brazile, a nationally syndicated columnist. She teaches at Georgetown University. Welcome both.
Hi, Farai.
Hello.
So, Donna, I'm going to start with you. It's not typical for the federal government to charge minors with a hate crime. In the wake of Gina 6, some people think that should be revisited, including Reverend Al Sharpton. So is this enough, this incident, this debate, to cause a reconsideration?
Well, the Southern Law and Poverty Center also concluded that this law should not be extended, the federal hate crimes law should not be extended to juveniles. Perhaps we should take a deeper look at, incidents of hate crimes across the country and see if there's been a rash of hate crimes committed by juveniles. I know there's been a lot of pranks on college campuses, a lot of nooses appearing all of a sudden over the last couple of weeks, and this may be an epidemic. We don't know. But I tend to believe that the House Judiciary Committee under its jurisdiction has the power and the authority to look into this and to see if we should reclassify juveniles as adults if they commit, these types of crimes.
Now, Ron, there have been these potentially copycat noose incidents. The Justice Department has created a special group to investigate. But is this really the kind of thing that will transform the ability of the federal government to deal with issues like this?
I don't think so. I'm always leery of trying to create new laws or trying to create new statutes to capture perhaps a small segment of the population. If someone's charged as a 17-year-old, should they be charged as an adult? That's an issue for the courts. I'm more concerned, Farai, with what you've raised and what Donna just touched on. There are a rash of nooses appearing all across the country, from Columbia University to Hempstead and on Long Island to you name it, in the South, the West, all across the United States. It seems to me that there is a rash of intolerance going on in this country. And I'm not as concerned with the federal government creating new laws and new statutes. I'm more concerned about people and communities around this country coming together and saying, why are we becoming a more intolerant, seemingly, society? Why are all these nooses and all these crosses popping up? That's what people and communities around the country should be looking at rather than looking to Washington, D.C. to provide the answers.
But, Ron, what is the role of the federal government then? Are you saying the federal government should just step back and let communities figure it out? That hasn't always worked so well.
No, and I think that going back to the Kennedy administration, looking at Bobby Kennedy as Attorney General, his brilliance, candidly, of finding a way to enforce the Civil Rights Act to ensure that all Americans in general, but African Americans in particular, were treated equally under the law. There is a role for the Justice Department. There is a role for the federal government. But rather than having a rash and saying that the federal government should step in, I'd rather that these conversations take place concurrently at the local level with people examining their own hearts and minds to determine what in the heck's going on. But I am encouraged that the Justice Department is looking into this because this type of behavior has just got to stop.
Donna, go ahead.
Sorry. I agree with Ryan that the federal government should take a look at this. Look, they cannot sit on the sideline when they've seen a pattern develop over the last couple of years. I think the federal government should investigate this, call upon state attorney general, state law enforcement officials. But on a more practical level, we need to do a better job of educating people in the communities across the country, get the churches, the community groups back involved, and having, you know, a dialogue, having a conversation. And let's not wait till Black History Month before this conversation begins. We need to do it now, because there's clearly a pattern being developed, and we need to address it now.
No, we got a three-month jump on Black History Month. I want to actually move on to a different topic. President George Bush will give a Congressional Gold Medal of Honor to the Dalai Lama today. It's his second Gold Medal of Honor, received his first in 2006. Chinese officials are not happy. In a press conference today, the president defended his decision to attend the ceremony against China's wishes.
I told the Chinese president, President Hu, that I was going to go to the ceremony. As I brought it up. And I said, I'm going because I want to honor this man. I have consistently told the Chinese that religious freedom is in their nation's interest. I've also told them that I think it's in their interest to meet with the Dalai Lama, and will say so at the ceremony today in Congress.
Ron, this is a huge award. Tensions can be very high in terms of China saying that Tibet is basically just part of China, Tibetans saying, uh-uh. How is this going to play out with the huge trade deficit with China, with all of the other issues that the U.S. is trying to raise in regards to China's human rights record?
I don't think that the president going to Capitol Hill and participating in a gold medal ceremony is going to harm U.S.-Chinese relations. What the president said earlier in his news conference today was, in fact, he has brought this up with the Chinese. But the United States stands as a beacon of freedom, and we welcome all religions. We welcome all different stripes of life. And the president was correct, I think, when he said that China would be in their best national interest to welcome people from different religions, and the Chinese have been very intolerant on religious expression in China, as well as the Tibet issue. But if I were in China, as you pointed out, Farai, there are far more important issues they need to take a look at, looking at import safety coming of food, agricultural products that are being exported from China into the United States, as well as toys and manufactured goods. So rather than the Chinese getting a burr up the bonnet about the Dalai Lama, they ought to look at some of the food products and some of the toys and some of the products coming to the United States that aren't safe for American consumers.
Donna, how important is the U.S.-China relationship to the U.S. specifically?
Well, it's very important. China is now the third largest economy. We, of course, import a lot of their goods, and I agree with Ryan. We need to inspect a lot of their goods. China will host the Olympics in 2008. China has leveraged its new economic power by investing in Africa. China could help us in the situation in Darfur. So there's no question that we should engage the Chinese. Look, His Holiness the Dalai Lama is not only a great spiritual leader, but he's been a champion for human rights across the globe. And this goes to the heart of who we are as a people, as a democratic nation, to honor such a wonderful human being. He was first awarded the Nobel Prize in 1989 for his effort to promote peace and nonviolence. So this sends an important symbol in terms of who we are as a people, as Americans. And if the Chinese are upset with the president and Speaker Pelosi and the Senate President Robert Byrd for honoring him, then they should, pick up a copy of our Constitution and read it, because this is what we're all about as Americans.
I want to take you guys on a quick tour around the issue of warrantless wiretapping. So Verizon told House Democrats it provided information on more than 700 phone customers to the federal government. They said the information was handed over in emergency cases. Democrats on the House Energy Commerce Committee are looking into the cooperation of the phone companies since September 11th. So, Donna, is it too easy to get this information for the federal government? Is there not enough protection for consumers?
Well, look, I think as first of all, let me just inform you that my company represent several of the telecom companies, including Verizon and their broadband expansion to minority rural communities and others. So I wanted to say that up front. I also believe that it's important that we protect individual rights and civil liberties, at the same time give the intelligent community the tools that they need without sacrificing those civil liberties. I also believe that these telecom companies, should be covered, but insofar as going to the courts and making sure that this is all appropriate under the current FISA statute. Now, I know the Democrats want to get to the bottom of it. They're going to try to make sure that the telecommunication companies, tell them as much information in terms of what they did in helping the Bush administration get access to information. This is a very touchy issue, and Congress should debate it thoroughly. But at the bottom line is no one should receive immunity if they violated the law. That's a corporation or an individual.
Ron?
I'm going to put my lawyer hat on. I am in favor of FISA, and I'm in favor of the government in very limited circumstances of being able to trace communications of terrorists or those who might be plotting incidents against the United States. When I read this story yesterday, I was very concerned. The Fourth Amendment provides against illegal searches and seizures unless there's an exigent circumstance, unless there's a very rapid need for this information to go to the hands of the government without first obtaining a warrant. I'm very interested to see why ordinary phone records were turned over. And also, some of these records were dealing with people with child predator and other non-intelligence-related issues. So I do think that this should have its full airing. Obviously, if it's related to a terrorist or it's relating to something that's going to harm this country, there's that exception under FISA. But going without a warrant, if it's not an exigent circumstance, I want to take a closer look at that.
Well, Ron and Donna, thanks so much.
Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Ron Christie is vice president of the lobbying firm DC Navigators and former special assistant to President George W. Bush. Donna Brazile is a nationally syndicated columnist, and she teaches at Georgetown University. Both joined us from the NPR headquarters in Washington, D.C.